Boker Tov, good morning. Today's daf is daf Kaf Aleph, daf 21. We are going to start at the last line on Kaf Amud Bet 20b, talking about something from a little bit from yesterday's daf, about when the Mishnah was talking about if a person finds different documents, and then we said, if let's say there's at the end of the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, we talked, there was something called simponot, or receipts. So we said if within documents they have a receipt, so we follow what it says on the document. So bottom of 20b, last line, Tashma, the Gemara begins. Come and listen. Simon yishayesh alav edim, if you have a receipt that has witnesses signed on it, itkayem bechotmav, you fulfill what's written there with the signatures of witnesses. We are contradicting Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba on yesterday's daf. So the question goes against him, and the Gemara answers, Ema itkayem bechotmav, it means to fulfill it from these signatures, meaning the Shailin and the Sade, we ask the witnesses, I parua, ilo paro, we ask if this was paid or was not paid. And that answers the question. Tashma, the Gemara says again, Simpon sheyesh alav edim kasher, if a receipt has the witnesses on it, it's kosher. My edim, what does it mean? Witnesses? Ede kiyum. It's talking about witnesses that fulfill the document. So that wrote henpek that from the Beit Din that are establishing that this is the proper document. This makes sense. Midikatani Seifa, it says in the latter part, Visha ain't alav edim pasul, if it does not have witnesses, it's pasul. So my ain't alav edim, what does it mean it does not have witnesses? If you want to say it does not have witnesses at all, so the pasul, do you need to teach us that it's pasul? Obviously, if it does not have witnesses at all, it's not kosher. She'el alav, it must be edei kiyum. It's talking about it does not have edei kiyum, the witnesses that fulfill the document, and even then it would be pasul. Gufa, we go back to something we said yesterday.
What's
the difference? There's edim, stam edim, that if a person obviously has no edim, then how can you testify that what's written there is true? And then there's edei kiyum, which are shekatvu henpek, Rashi says. They write out that from the Beit Din that this is correct, valid. This is a valid. Gufa, the Gemara says, we go back to yesterday. Simpon sheyesh alav edim, if you have a receipt that has witnesses, itkayem bechotmav, if it's fulfilled with its signatures. Ein alav edim, if it does not have witnesses, v'yotem midachat yedei shalish, and it's given out, it's coming from a third party, o sheyotem lachar chitum shtarot, or it's given after the signing of the documents, kasher, it's still kosher. So the Gemara says, yotem midachat yedei shalish, and it's coming from a third party, deha him ne malve le shalish, because the lender trusts this third party. That's why we believe it. Yotzei la'achar chitum shtarot nami, and even if it's given after the signing of documents, di lav defriya lo hava mara leil shtarot. If it was not paid, then this lender would not have ruined his document and given it over, and lost out on his chance to get this paid back. So therefore, we believe that as well, and that would be kosher. This is the end of the first chapter, and now we're starting the second chapter, which is known famously as Elo Metziot. These are the findings. Elo Metziot Shelo. Just before we begin, this Mishnah is really going to talk about, this chapter really is going to talk about different types of things if a person finds them, when they belong to him, and when he has to announce for someone else. So for example, he has to announce, meaning he has to proclaim that he found something, someone can come and claim that it's his, and show his simanim, show his signs that it's his. So there's a mitzvah from the Torah, when you find a lost object, to return it to its rightful owner. The question will become, when does that apply? So if it's something that we can assume that the person had, yeush, he had despair, and he let it go, then it's no longer required for you to return that. So we're going to see in many instances when it belonged, you can pick it up and now it's yours, and when it belongs to that person still, because he did not have despair and you would have to return it. This Mishnah is going to mention just about your findings and what belonged to you. So elu metziyot shelo, these are the findings.
Even if you know who is the person, you don't have to return.
So that's exactly the question. The question, but if the person has despair and he views it ownerless, then it's no longer his. Now, obviously, on
yeah,
a more
but he has the yeush, but you know that you saw him that he dropped.
It's a good question. I think in that case, it would probably be if it's a Jew, it would probably be more proper to return it. But I think if a person had despair, then it's no longer his. It's no longer his. But it depends on the case. Every situation may be different. Elo metziyot shelo. These are the findings that are his. Elo metchayav la'achriz. And these are those that he has to announce. And we're only going to talk about in this Mishnah the ones that are his. And the next Mishnah is going to talk about the ones that announce. Elo metziyot shelo. These are the ones that are his. Matzah peron mefuzarin. He found spread produce. Ma'od mefuzarot. Or money spread. Krichot b'rishut arabim. Or these things that are spread out in the public domain, like little bundles in the public domain, v'igulei devela, fig cakes, kikarot shenachtom, baked bread by the baker, macharozot shel dagim, strings of fish, v'chatichot shel basar, pieces of meat, v'gizei tzemer alekuchim midinatan, or pieces of wool, like you know, actual wool that is bought in the Medina, v'anitzei pishtan, and bundles of you know, flax, ulishonot shel argaman, and strands of you know, purple wool. Hare elu shelov, he finds any of these, they belong to him. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, kol sheyesh bo shinui chayav la'achriz. If it has something different, and we're going to see what that means, then you have to announce it. Ketzad, how is that so? Matza igul v'techo cheres. If let's say you find a fig cake, and inside that fig cake, there's a piece of earthenware, it's a piece of glass. So he has to announce. Kikar v'techo ma'od, if he finds a loaf, and inside there's a piece of money, there's a coin, he has to announce. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Lazar Omer, he says, kol klei anporia en chayav la'achriz. Any kli, ain't no chayav la'achriz. Any kli that is anporia, we're going to see in the Gemara what this is referring to, that he does not have to announce. Matzah, the Gemara begins, matzah perod mefuzarin, if you found spread produce. Bekama, how much is that? That we're talking about. So Amar Yitzchak Kav Ba'arba Amot. It's talking about one Kav of produce within 4 amot by 4 amot of space. So Echidame, what's the case here? If it seems like it fell and the guy dropped it, Hafilu Tuvanami, then even if it's more than that, it should be ownerless. But if the guy placed it there and he wants to come back for it, Hafilu Batzir Me'achinami Lo, then even less than that Kav amount, the guy wants to come back and get it. So Amar Mor Ukva Barchama V'machan we're talking about a gathering on the threshing floor. So that it's talking about when they gather and there is grain or produce all around, the grain all around, and that's what it's referring to. So it's not necessarily talking about you just found it. It's talking about actually there are people that were gathering there for this purpose. Rashi says, "Vishat asifat granon," they're coming to gather the grain. Vekan dashan ba'alehen. They came and they took what they wanted, and the people that they didn't want, whatever they didn't want, they left it there, right? So that's what it's talking about. Kav barba amot, we said one kav at 4 amot. Then afish tirchayu, it's a big burden. Delo tarach inish, the person's not going to come and burden himself for all that. Velo hadar atev shakilu, he's not going to come back and gather all that, because it's a large amount of space to come and gather pieces of grain all over. So afkure mafkalehu, he makes it ownerless. But tir ma'achibir, if it's less than that, Tarach, he's going to burden himself. He's going to come and take it. He's not going to make it ownerless. Now, we're going to spend the rest of the Amud talking about different questions that could come up within this category that we just said. If let's say he found, we just said a kav within 4 amot, so then it belongs to him. But if it's, what if it's less than that? What if it's more than that? What if it's a different type of measurement? What if it's a different type of produce? What would it be then? So the Gemara says, Bayar Yirmiya, Chatzi kav b'shte amot ma'o. What if it was half of a kav in 2 amot by 2 amot? So kav ba'arba amot tama mai. What's the reason for a kav in 4 amot that it's his mishum dinafish yirchayu? Because it's a big burden. Chatzi kav b'shte amot kevan dolo nafish yirchayu lo mafkelu. Okay, but if it was half of that in 2 amot, it's not such a big burden, so therefore it's not ownerless. O Dilmar, perhaps mishum delo chashive, it's not important. Chatzi kav b'shte amot. And so too, a half of a kav within 2 amot, it's also not important, so therefore the guy makes it ownerless. Okay, another question. Kabayim bishmona amot ma'o. What if it was 2 kav in 8 amot? We said 1 kav in 4 amot, it's ownerless. What about 2 kav in 8 amot? So, kav b'arba amot tamamai. What's the reason for 1 kav in 4 amot that it's ownerless? Mishum denefish tirchai, because it's a big burden. Kol sheken, kabayim bishmona amot. How much more so? 2 kav in 8 amot, that's a big burden. It's even bigger burden, so obviously it's ownerless. Well, Dilmar, perhaps mishum delo chashive. No, 1 kav in 4 amot is not important. The kabayim bishmona amot and 2 kav in 8 amot, kivan de chashive lo mafkelu. Since it's important, it's chashuv. The guy would not make it ownerless. Next question: kav shum shemin ba'arba amot ma'o. What if it was a kav of
sesame
within 4 amot? What's the din then? Kav ba'arba amot tamamai. What's the reason for one kav of grain within 4 amot? Mishum de lo chashive. Maybe it's because it's not important. Vishum shemin kevan de chashive lo mafkelehu. But sesame is important. Therefore, you would not make an ownerless. Or dilma mishum de nefish techayu. Or maybe no. It's a big burden for the one kav of grain. Because again, shum shemin. How much more so sesame? Sesame is very hard to gather. Kevan de nefish techayu tvei mafkelehu. It's even harder than grain. So therefore, you would make it ownerless. Kav tamare barba amot. What about a kav of dates within 4 amot? Or a kav rimone, or a kav of pomegranates barba amot. Mao, what's the din then? Kav barba amot tamamai. What's the reason of one kav of within 4 amot of grain? That it's ownerless, mishum delo chashive. Maybe because it's not important. Kav tamare barba amot, kav rimone barba amot nami. And so too, a kav of dates or pomegranates as well. Kevan delo chashive. Mafkelu. Since it's not so important, he makes it ownerless. But Dilmar, perhaps mishum den nefisha tirchayu. No, because it's a big burden. One kav of within 4 amot of grain. That's why it's ownerless. Vekav tamari ba'arba amot. Vekav rimonei ba'arba amot. Kivan delo nefish tirchayu lo mafkelu. Or maybe the kav of dates within 4 amot, or kav of pomegranates within 4 amot. Since it's not so hard to go and gather those, like it is with grain, maybe it would not be ownerless. So my, what's the answer to all of these questions? The Gemara answer is teku. We don't have the answer, and we'll have to wait for Eliyahu and Navi. Idmar, we learn the following.
This ratio, kav,
it doesn't say this. Okay, next amud. So now the Gemara says Yeush lo midat. This is the next topic we're going to spend the rest of the daf on. What's Yeush lo midat? Essentially, somebody lost an item, and you find the item. The guy didn't have the spare yet because he doesn't know that he lost it yet. He didn't check his pockets yet. But once he does check his pockets, he's going to have the spare. So that's Yeush lo midat. So what's the din? Abaye Amar lo have Yeush. Abaye says that's not despair. And Virava Amar have Yeush. Rava says it is despair. So the Gemara says, "Vadavar sheyesh bo siman kuli amelo pligi du have Yeush." If there's a sign, a significant sign on the item that the owner can come and say, "Oh, I lost it. And I know this is my sign." Then for sure he's not going to have Yeush. He's not going to have despair because he's going to come and collect it with that sign. Ve'af agav de sheminem miyesh lasof. Even though we find out that he had despair at the end. It's not despair. Because when it came to the guy's hand, he found it. It came to him in Isur, with prohibition. That wasn't his. The guy didn't have despair yet. When the guy found out that the item fell from his pocket, he's not going to have Yeush right away if he knows that it's possible he could find it. Meimar Amar, he's going to say, Simana Idlibigave. I have a sign. I know how I can find it. I'll give my sign and I'll be able to get my item back. If it was like the flow of the water, or the ocean, or the river that blew, that flowed the the item. Afa gav de itve siman rachmana sharia. Even though it has a sign, the Torah permits it. Why? Kedabainan the member of the commander. We're going to say later on. We'll explain later on. Ki pligi bedavar she'en bo siman. We are arguing on something that does not have a sign. There's no way to define it with a significant sign. So Abaye Amar lo have Yeush. Abaye says it's not despair. Dehalo yadan nefal mine. Because the guy doesn't know that he dropped it. So how can you say it's despair? Right now I dropped something. I don't know I dropped it. Someone else comes and picks it up. How can I say it's his if I didn't have despair yet? I may have despair later, but I don't have it now. Rava Amar, Rava says, have Yeush. No, it is despair. Dehalo yadan nefal mine miyesh. Whenever I find out that I lost my item, I'm going to have Yeush. I'm going to have despair. So therefore I say, Simanat libigave, I don't have any significant sign, and therefore, mehashtahu demiayesh, and from now, meaning from, going back retroactively, it's essentially, that's when it was Yeush, when the item was lost, because had I known I lost it at that very moment, I would have had despair, even though I only had despair later on, it's only because I realized later on. That's the machlokin. Okay, some put a siman here, siman pamgash, mimak. Okay, Tashema. The Gemara comes and says a few lessons. Perot mefuzarin. We go back to what we said in the Mishnah. If you have spread produce, so the Gemara says, "Hallo yada nafal minei." Hold on, you don't know that you dropped it, that it fell from you. So why is the guy able to keep it? This sounds like who is it supporting? We had the machloket Abayin Rava. It sounds like it is Yeush, like Rava, even though you don't know you dropped it. So the Gemara says, "Ha'amar mor ravuka bar chama acha mechan shta de bizrei askin." And we're talking about the gathering on the threshing floor. That's what it's talking about. The aveda midati, that it was a dropped, lost object that he knew about, meaning he didn't lose it without knowledge. It was with knowledge, and therefore that's why it is ownerless. Tashema, come again. Ma'on nefuzarot harei elu shelo. if you had money that was spread, the guy finds it, it's his. Amai, why is that the case? The guy who fell it from his pocket, he doesn't know that he dropped it. So this sounds like it's supporting the opinion of Rava that says that even if he doesn't know yet, but he will know later and have despair later, it's considered despair from now. So the Gemara says, Hatzam Nami, no, over there as well, because Rabbi Yitzchak is following the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, Damar Adam Asur Lemashmesh Bekisoba Kol Sha'a V'Sha'a. Person is normal for him to reach into his pockets every hour, every moment. He's always constantly reaching into his pockets, making sure that his money is there, his wallet is there, right? So too over here, Hachanami, Adam Asur Lemashmesh Bekisoba Kol Sha'a V'Sha'a. It's normal for a person to reach into his pockets every now and then, very frequently, to make sure that he has his money. And therefore, it's not considered shalomidad. It's not considered that he does not have knowledge of it. He does have knowledge of it because every minute he's checking his pockets. Oh, my money's not here. I must have dropped it. Therefore, he has despair. There's a bunch of tashmas. I think we'll stop there for today and we'll continue the tashmas because it continues onto tomorrow's daf pretty much. Also, all the way through tomorrow's daf. Okay, so we'll stop there. We'll do one quick halakha on today's daf. We started today's daf. We talked about these are the types of findings that if a person finds, it belongs to him and he can keep it and there's no need for a proclamation. So the question is that halakha le ma'aseh? So the halakha says the following. The Rambam writes, matzah perim lefuzarin, if you find spread fruits, if it was placed there, meaning you can tell that the guy left it there to come back and get it, then you can't touch it. But if it was left there as a drop, like for example, he forgot it there or it fell from him, then that's considered ownerless, it's considered like yaz ye'ush, and therefore you'd be allowed to come and pick those up, and those would belong to you. We'll stop there and do a 1-minute recap.